What's going on, everybody? This is Mike Baker, and I got my man Mike Bennett here, and this is Apple Advisory. This is the first episode of Apple Advisory. Today, we're going to just go over the details. We are going to talk about Apple's new 16-inch MacBook Pro, Apple's Phil Schiller talking down on a Chromebook and talking about how kids that got Chromebooks at the school can't really succeed and how they're not going to succeed with a Chromebook and how that's talking reckless about Chromebook for real, like just getting down on it for real. And how Apple is now more worth more than the U.S. energy sector as a total. That's just unbelievable. I don't even get that. But let's go ahead with this first article about the Apple 16-inch MacBook Pro. This comes from the Mac Rumors, MacRumors.com. The main thing about this article is just showing off the polish and finish of this new 16-inch MacBook Pro, because Apple is a products company first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So they're just showing off all the fancy functionalities and features of it, the 4K screen. I think it might be actually a 6K screen. But the fact that it's also a 16-inch MacBook in comparison to what they usually give out, which is the 15-inch, that's like the average standard is a 15-inch.
Yeah, 15 is the average standard.
Laptop. You know, a replacement of the keyboard, bringing back the keyboard from what they had. It was like some butterfly keys that they had prior to that everybody disliked and all that stuff. But the main thing that I'm really taking in off of all of this, beyond the article just talking about how neat this daggone MacBook Pro is just the fact that Apple really doesn't have much to sell anymore. And they really are like, they really just changing their prices on things for like no apparent reason. Like it used to be like the you can max out this laptop with all the specs. If you get the top specs on this laptop, it'll almost run you about $6,000. $6,000. On the average one is roughly about almost about, I want to say like $2,200, $2,300. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs that. No, I mean, like, no, nobody needs that type. Like, the average person doesn't need that type of power unless you are working in a professional environment. You don't need those resources. I mean, no matter how slick Apple is and like how great they look with some of that stuff. And I get it. I'm recording this right now on a MacBook Pro, and I got an iPhone. I mean, right. I get all the details about why Apple is so great and all of that, but like, that's not a consumer product for the average person. That's essentially what it says. It's a MacBook Pro. If you buy this personally, I don't trust you making this your purchasing decisions. Like you gotta be just buying this because like the company that you work for or your company itself just decided that this was an expense. I mean, it gotta be some way to write this type of device off because it's not for the average person. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And like I said, I think they're bringing their products up because, like, I think they're just finding out new tiers about what they are and what they sell and, like, how they can divide things. Because even when I got this laptop, for, like, $500 from a coworker. Yeah, you know I mean? Yeah. The price of this laptop when he probably purchased it was still either, like, $1,199 or $1,299. But now you can peek out on an iPhone and it'll cost you like $1,100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like they are doing that on purpose because I feel like that's like your gateway now. And that's like starting off with a iPhone, that's like your intro into the Apple world. And if you got that, more than likely you don't need a full-on laptop. If that can be your intro, and you don't need to go ahead and purchase yourself a Apple laptop if you got a new iPhone. You basically be satisfied and solidified and be able to do what you need to do with that device. I mean, unless you get into that tier, you probably don't need to ever buy like an Apple laptop again anymore. Unless maybe like the Apple Air or whatever. But like, I think they're trying to phase out their consumer product, like their laptop devices and their computers, quote unquote. Yeah. I think they're just trying to fade them out. I think they're trying to make it so people don't have to buy them anymore.
It's really like when you listen to it, bro. So I just shoot straight, man. It's like they running out of. I feel like they're coming to a standstill. You know, like they did an excellent job. You know, kind of following up off of the genius of Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, they have they've created this culture right around. Like you said, and it goes. It's really like consumer driven. You know, they create this culture with this Apple products. That it's like it's almost like a private, like standalone group. Like people, you know, people kind of
hold it. It's definitely a cult.
Yeah, it's a cult. That's what. Yeah, it's a cult. I don't know if that word can get us banned.
I'll say it's culture. Yeah, it's a culture. It's an Apple culture.
It's cult. It has cult tendencies.
Yeah,
right? And cult-like tendencies. The whole thing of like. You know how people don't respect you if you have a green bubble and all this stuff like that, and it's like after a while, you know that stuff is cool, but from a company's like standpoint, man, I think you have to find a way to expand. And like you're saying, Mike, man, like for the common person, like they don't really need to have the power that comes with buying a $2,300 laptop at all. Like anytime you get into like purchasing a laptop that's more than $800 for the common person, like they're being hustled.
Right. You better be making that money back off of that device. Yeah. I mean,
right. What is my grandmother going to do with a $2,300 laptop?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like she's sending more chain letters on Facebook. Like you don't need that for that. You know, like so this whole thing, I feel like they're doing an excellent job marketing and then still driving. You know, driving revenue with their branding of being Apple. But I think what's happening when you hear stuff like this is kind of like they are seeing what is the next thing they can do. Like, what's the next thing they can have their hands in to really move the company forward? Because, you know, I don't use, even if in my job, like we don't need that much power, you know, like to make something happen. It's like, what could you possibly be doing? Look at the average person, like even private sector. Like, what are you doing with that much power on a laptop?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, they really are trying to phase out that the laptop for real. They're trying to phase it into a professional product, like a tool. When you see what they have with the iPad Pro and the new iPads that they have out with the lap with the keyboard and all of that with the cover case. They're essentially trying to make that the consumer laptop. They're trying to turn that iPad Pro into like, this is the laptop that you take home with you and you use that to do your homework, whatever thing you want to do. And if you need like a professional grade system that does the pro stuff, you get that. You go get a real laptop that has all the gigs of RAM, all the processing, all the SSD storage and all of that. But like they're marking it out of price range so that the average consumer won't even look at it. Yeah, I mean, like you go to an Apple store, you'll see it, but you'll look at that price and be like, yeah, I don't want it. And then you'll keep going down the line and you see this iPad Pro and you'll be like, I can do a lot of stuff with it. Because now, you know, the iPad has that whole split screen feature where you can have like multiple apps running at the same time on the left and right. So many apps have been designed for being able to use in like a multitasking format so that you can do multiple things because they have like the widget system now and all that stuff in the iPad. They're essentially trying to push people out of using a Mac OS at all. And they're really pushing I think more than anything, it's about the operating system in a way, but they're trying to sort of get people out of using Mac OS X and into using iOS more, at least for the consumer level. Yeah, I mean, because consumer means more control. Because you know, if you ever use an iPhone, that shit is great in its functionality, but it's also locked down horribly.
It's locked down.
Yeah.
Locked down. I mean, that's the thing, bro. I'm originally not an Apple person, right? So
yeah.
The only reason why I got the iPhone XS Max and the camera on is beautiful. Like you said, everything, it just seems like it's just well put together. Mm-hmm. But when you're coming from, you know, I'm in IT, you're coming from a background where, you know, dealing with like a Samsung, like the Android, Android system, excuse me. You know, if I'm trying to download something or like listen to something, it's like that was really heartbreaking to me that like you can't really play any music on it. Like there's no real like file storage system where you can store, you know, it was an adjustment, you know, and
yeah,
you know, it depends on again, like how I'm not people like this in IT, you're not like a regular consumer. You are a consumer, but you know, I would probably have more of a reason to have, you know, high tech than the average person, but it's like, you know, everyone doesn't do what I do or have the interest that I have. You know, people just want to have stuff function in their life, and they may have certain, you know, interests that, you know, they may dibble and dabble in here and there, but they don't really need, you know, it's just Apple. It's funny, man, because they have, it's great for as far as the iPhone stuff goes, like for the average person, but then you're selling these products where it's like, it still have it's the type of environment that then it's locked down, but it's costly. So I think it's just like, you're right. That was a good observation. I think what this is this a way of slowly like phasing out, you know, the whole laptop thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I mean, I have my iPhone, I have my Android as well. I have I still have a Samsung S7 that they had like maybe 3-4 years ago, but like I use both of them. The Samsung is slow as hell. The new SX that I got, the XS that I got, is it's clean. It's a clean system. Mm. But yeah, like you said, as a IT professional, as a person that works in development and stuff, like the functionalities, like they're doing it to protect the regular user. Like some of the ways that they lock the system down, they do it to protect the user that may potentially mess their system up. They do it so that companies that are building apps can build in regulations and stuff, because like there's systems in here that lock people down from being able to fast forward through an advertisement. Like and that's built into the operating system, built into iOS, because they want to be able to make sure that advertisements work in iOS so that people can make their money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they basically designed iOS consumer first. And that's how you think of mobile devices anyway. Most devices that you think of is a consumption device. It's a device that you take in information and you don't really produce much with it. You don't push much out with it. Now, I mean, kind of now, you know, you got social media, you push out, you know, people got live streams and whatnot, but you're not really creating things on there on a regular basis. Even if you are recording video, you might export it before you do something with it.
Right.
But they basically are pushing people out of Mac OS altogether, unless you are on the development level and trying to push people into just using iOS altogether. And let's go to the next article. And it kind of feeds into this idea with the Apple's Phil Schiller saying that kids with Chromebooks in classrooms are not going to succeed.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I can't even say like probability. You just like, yo, y'all can't win with them.
Man, setting them up for failure
with a Chromebook. I mean, how you gonna win? And I mean, me personally, the way I see it, he's full of shit, basically. Like he really is just trying to promote his brand. If you work for the company, you can't talk about the competitor being a good product. So like, there's no way you can be like, yeah, Chromebooks are pretty good as they eat all of our market share. you gotta be like, yeah, they can't do anything. But everything that he's saying is basically a lie, because if you've seen any school, any kid with like a Chromebook, you can get away with a lot, and you don't even have to have a powerful Chromebook. You can get away with a lot with like a $200 Chromebook that you just found on at like a corner market or something, for real. I had a whole conference room just using a Chromebook for like 6 months as their conferencing system, and that joint was like a Asus 13-inch, like 11-inch little laptop that they use as their conference machine for like 6 months. so that they can get an understanding of how well it, how to use the conferencing software. It was Google Meet, but how to use the conferencing software. But then also, because when they had conferences in there, they would potentially end up getting the old machine that we had in that room messed up. Like they would have, I'll come back and try to look at that machine and try to use it for something. It'd be all this stuff on there. And I'm like, I gotta fix this before I can even use it. Right. And Chromebook, you just don't have those issues. You don't have certain software randomly getting installed on your machine. And like, when it comes to education, like the web is 99% of what kids need in education. There's nothing that a kid can't learn or do with a Chromebook that they couldn't do with any other computer for the most part. And in a lot of ways with a Chromebook, they probably can do it a lot better, even if it comes to like learning how to program, learning how to like use a productivity platform like Microsoft Word or something like that. They got G Suite. They got a whole productivity suite that they've been giving away for free that you can learn how to write, how to type, because, you know, kids need to learn how to type 40 words a minute and stuff like that.
So man, like, I think this is all about, this is all about, you know, let's look at it, man. Like we all know for all intents and purposes, Apple overcharges your ass for just about everything. I mean, like for the type of capabilities that you could have, because they know how to brand themselves well. They're still living off of the glory of Steve Jobs. You know what I mean? Like that's pretty much what drives it. Gives them the incentive to charge folks, right? But then you have like, you know, a Google that comes on that seems like it's more of a powerhouse per se when it comes to like this technology, but they haven't really like dabbled into that space as much as Apple. When they introduce a product to the marketplace that is able to, if not do the same thing, maybe, you know, tackle some of the issues that Apple can't do, you know, for a cheaper price, the power play has to be, well, you know, that company ain't shit anyway, so you still need to deal with us. It's almost like you run out of things to say. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not like we're trying to draw a comparison that's constructive, you know, and you start. I've always been like, when it comes to like debate logic, I know that whenever you get to a point where you're slandering, you're throwing like personal shots, it just means you don't have anything to say. Yeah, you can't really defend the point that's being brought up. And I think that the underlying theme with what Google is doing with the Chromebook is that they're able to do, if not the same exact thing, probably even a little bit more for a cheaper price. And it fits into, you know, the scheme of like, it's a lot of things they're able to do with just Google backing that device. You know what I mean? Like having everything, all the accessibility with, like you said, the G Suite, and then having all of it's just the system not being as locked down. So you can have a, you know, something where the curriculum is easily like able to be tailored to, you know, the people that's you, the kids that's using that those devices. Like, it's just when I hear stuff like that, like, oh, when basically with wasn't it Adam Schiller just saying that, like, they Adam Schiller, I think it's Phil Schiller saying
To call him Amy,
good old Philip,
Amy, like, Schumer,
you know what I mean? Like, it's like you're just mad, bro, because what we're doing actually makes more sense, and you just, you know, you're not. If you cheapen yourself, it really exposes what's been happening. So you try to really just drive the price home and try to, you know, big up, you know, your position for you being here longer. But
I mean, look at the. I'm gonna read the bit that he actually said on here that we have from this article. This is from The Verge. His take. He says, "Kids who are really into learning and want to learn will have better success. It's not hard to understand why kids aren't engaged in the classroom without applying technology in a way that inspires them. You need to have these cutting edge learning tools to keep kids really to help kids really achieve their best results. Yet Chromebooks do not do that. Chromebooks have gotten to the classroom because, frankly, they're cheap testing tools for required testing. And if all you want to do is test kids, well, maybe a cheap notebook will do that, but they're not going to succeed." So he's basing it off the fact that it's cheap, and that's
he didn't say nothing, bro. Like, come on, like, that was a whole bunch of filler, just saying that, like, oh, the only reason why I'm using it is just like it's because it's cheap, and then a lot of the stuff that he said, it just, you can't really prove it. It's based off of how he feels rather than what what the stats says. There's nothing that actually proves that the Chromebook is not able to do exactly what, you know, what Apple can do, whatever device.
The Chromebook gets you onto the internet where the world's access to information resides. Yeah, I mean, it's like you need to be able to get information to do whatever research project you need to do. If you want to learn something in some type of interactive game or environment, you got the web browser. It takes you to all like, if you want to teach them chemistry, you want to teach them math, you want to teach them science, you can throw them on Khan Academy. You can put them on all these different systems, any website possible to get you to get them to do anything. And that's all capable through a Chromebook. But yet somehow he's saying that you can't possibly be engaged and you can't learn anything with using a Chromebook, that you need to have extra, like that a Chromebook is only a testing tool. Like that's all it's really for, is taking tests. And that just all sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, where's the stats on that? I need to see the stats on that.
Right. Yeah, man. Like the only thing you're gonna do when you lie like that, man, you're just discrediting yourself for real. Like it's proven facts that they doing numbers, and it's not just because they cheat.
You know what I mean? Look, this is final rec. Phil Schiller, you don't know what you're talking about, buddy. Thumbs down.
Get your act together, bro. Play fire, you man.
Get out of here. Come in there with some stats. And I think it's always, just as a point, you know, if he ever does listen to this, bro, like you never get nowhere slandering. It's like what you want to do is you want to big up the competition, but then show what your differences are.
Yeah.
Whenever you try to talk shit about the next company, it's like, just make sure you look weak.
Back it up.
So go ahead, Phil Schiller, take this out, bro.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Let's go to this last article. So Apple is now worth more than the entire U.S. energy sector. This is from Markets Insider, which is a division of Business Insider.
Phil should have turned this in. He should have incorporated this in his dissertation as to why Chromebooks are not good.
Right. Yeah. He should have just had a whole nother argument altogether. Yeah. I mean, he should have just been like, we got more money than the energy sectors. Yeah. I mean, it's no reason. Yeah. I mean, it just can't compete. But yeah, like Apple is effectively, as of last week or so, and this is based on Bank of America, Merrill Lynch analysis that they basically, and this is as of Thursday, that they closed at $1.17 trillion market cap. Wow. and effectively making them more valuable than Exxon, Chevron, and ConocoPhillips. I never heard of ConocoPhillips. But essentially three major oil companies, which are coming at $1.13 trillion. That's kind of retarded. That's retarded on so many levels. Yeah. But ConocoPhillips?
I don't know who they are.
Yeah, I don't know who ConocoPhillips is, but I know Exxon and Chevron are both like major oil companies.
Yeah.
Definitely big on the oil drilling and oil mining and the mining, the drilling, the finding of oil and the selling of oil, essentially the whole process that goes between finding oil in these different locations and all the way to getting it to a car or sometimes to somebody's house for distribution, for usage. Those two companies are in that. I'm figuring that Conoco is also in that. ConocoPhillips is in that similar market. But when they say the energy sector, they also do include like wind and solar and
all of them.
Yeah, all the U.S. owned energy creation markets. Effectively, Apple is lodging in all of them. And at one point, I'm like, how is that even possible? How is that possible? Because like everybody and anybody that has any type of housing, any type of need for transportation, any type of need for, like, you don't even have to have a car. If you just hop on a bus, that bus needs to have gas. That means you got to pay for the bus so the bus can pay for the gas. So the MTA, whatever mass transit administration you have, can pay for gas. Like those companies make money hand over fist, no matter what.
No matter what.
no matter what. And for a company like Apple to just to be pushing a consumer product, to be pushing a consumer product that's based on a want and not a need, like energy is a need for society. And like, that's a thing that people need to have to be able to do things. And for a company, for Apple to have a product that people don't necessarily need, they just want to have it. That says two things. They make way more money than they spend, which means that they definitely are putting like a big market gap in between how much they charge for a product versus how much it costs for them to make a product. And the part that I do believe more than anything is that, I mean, they are an international company, so they do sell throughout the world. They sell in Europe, they sell in China. I don't think they sell that well in China, but they sell in China. Latin America, Africa, they sell everywhere. So if you compare it to that, if they're only comparing like the money that Exxon makes in America and the money that Chevron makes in America, and they're not necessarily including like international partnerships and stuff like that with other companies that are in other countries, then yeah, I could potentially see that as being a thing. But still, that's just a retarded gap in profits. And I don't think Apple's worth it, yo. I don't think Apple's worth that type of money, yo. Apple, I mean, they have good design and like it's this thing that they call status apparatus. One of my homeboys brought it up. He got a whole thing going on.
Oh, explain that.
But it's the idea of a separate device or a separate product or a separate like this external thing, this external material thing, giving you a level of status, this random apparatus giving you a level of status that otherwise you probably couldn't achieve yourself, or if you have achieved, you got to maintain, and part of maintaining is acquiring these apparatuses. Yeah. I mean, like people that try to maintain a good appearance, like there's a movie I heard about, some people that got to give off a appearance, so they got to buy like fancy things. You got to get a BMW because you're trying to sell real estate and stuff like that. It's the same.
I get it.
It's the same concept. And it's like the
same gimmick. That's what it is.
But it's like a large part of Apple's market is working off of that gimmick, off of the status apparatus. You know I mean, like they have a product that's great, but how great is it compared to how great they make you feel it is? You know what I mean? Like, and that's like the part that people that made them the $1.17 trillion business is like they sell feeling in technology.
I think that's what, as much as I want to sit here and knock them for doing that, I think that's something that I'm kind of torn with hearing this, because it goes to show that Apple has done an effective job marketing. Mm-hmm. When you hear all of these moves where it feels like they're just basically repackaging something, and you have, I guess, good marketing, and then you have, I guess, malicious marketing, where you're kind of just you're selling a dream, right? You're selling empty bottles and branding it as water. Yeah. You know what I mean? Snake oil. You know, like you have different things that happen like that, but at the end of the day, like as I guess from a business standpoint, you can't really knock the hustle, right? Like if they're able to tap into the people's minds and move their emotions so much so that they can get to this level, as far as how to capitalize on that and bring, you know, something to fruition that's good for the people, that's on them. But I mean, this is going to show that they're really good at what they do, which is branding and marketing, man. And as far as it being, I guess, valued more, sometimes when you hear stuff like this, you know, it makes you think like it I don't know. It sounds good, but it's like, how long is it going to last? Like how much like smokes and mirrors is this? Like how long
was
it
just for this weekend? Like
yeah,
they,
you know,
they hit it, but it was just this weekend.
Because you're talking about the energy sector, like that's concrete. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so I mean, hey, like I feel that what they're talking about, man, as far as Apple being worth this, I haven't really heard of them, like Apple being involved in anything. At least it's not public news. We've been involved in anything this substantially, like this concrete. You know, like I don't know. that although they're valued more than like the energy section, are they doing anything with energy? Like what are the things Apple have tapped into that makes you like worry about a stat like this? Because yeah, you could be valued at whatever, but you know, as far as the value that you bring to the people that you serve and to these industries that you're in, or so you're supposedly being valued more than, it's like, you know, what does this really do for the company? Because this is gonna end up being you're valued more than this, but you're not really delivering any like concrete value to the people who are tapped into your brand. Like that'll be exposed very quickly. And then it's like, what will happen to the company then?
I mean, that's a good look. It's a good look at society. It's a good look at society in general. And just seeing like, I mean, it's the stat is kind of off because it's talking about the U.S. in comparison to a business that makes money around the world. Yeah. So like the money that they bring in is around the world, and the stat that they're comparing it to is something that's only based in the U.S. And they are grouping up a bunch of companies, which kind of just sounds bad for those individual companies that, damn, Exxon and Chevron ain't even on the level of an Apple individually, let alone grouped up. But like, it also just it points at society just because of the fact that like energy is of uber importance. Like we need to figure out alternative energy plans and actually put them in place now, because energy is the only thing that's keeping us going as a society as it is in this day. Like if we lose the resource of energy, if we go without power for a week, let alone 24 hours, those cities go down.
Yeah, cities crumble, man.
Yeah, like just without energy, just without gas and heat and electricity. You want to see mass exodus of everything, of people giving up all their faiths and beliefs and turning on each other. Let energy go off energy for like a week. Yeah. Like ain't nobody turning. Hey, we don't even care if Apple go. If Apple crumble, don't nobody care. Don't nobody care if Apple crumble. We be all right. We're going to find something else. But let Chevron and Exxon crumble. I mean, like, let them crumble without anything to replace it. I mean, like,
it cripples society in a way where, you know, it changes what changed the face of, like, how we deal with each other on a day-to-day basis. Like, if you think that, you know, we've had all, like, this is somewhat of a sidebar, but, you know, all these movies that come out about like a post-apocalyptic society and how people operate and stuff like that. Like that becomes real when people are not able to like with that, like you said, that primary component of energy not being anymore. Like, what are you supposed to do? And we're talking about going into, as far as energy goes, like a lot of things dealing with like, it creates that scare of where do, what am I trying to say? You know, yeah, like World War Z stuff. You know what I mean? Like certain viruses being born, like because now, like the stuff that creates the vaccines, and this is sounds a lot of like wow, wow, woo, woo. But you know, certain things that like within the medical industry and stuff like that that people need to survive. Like, what happens then?
I mean, look at like Mad Max. Mad Max ain't even like zombies or anything. That's just people that lost access to a lot to water on a large scale. Yeah, I mean, they lost a lot of access to water on a large scale, and they turned on each other quick. Yeah, I mean, the whole society's turned out. Like now they giving each other water like it's food for real. Just I mean, essentially it's a life resource, but like they making it like it's gold. Like it's
water's money.
Yeah, like they only dishing out like a cup a day. Yeah, I mean, to like 10,000 people. Yeah, I mean, like that was just based off of that, and that has a high probability of happening. Like, let us not be able to filter water, or not be able to, because most of our water now has to be filtered. And we need energy to be able to go through the filtration process. And like, let us not have energy so that we can't filter the water to keep us alive and keep us safe. You got people dying of dysentery. You got people dying of all types of stuff. Yeah, they can't get clean water and access to water because energy goes down, and yet a company like Apple is more.
Apple's still surviving, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. You lose energy, you ain't got Apple no more. You know what I mean, like, ain't no energy. You can't power your phones. I guess Apple's dead. Like, yo, how is this the most? How is that more profitable? I don't get it. But nonetheless, I feel like the ideas that Apple are putting into play, there are ideas about technology that people need to be able to be aware of. And like, that's the value that we're putting. It's like a human value that we're putting on it. Just like a human, like, I guess, like the emotion that we put into this technology, because we have a potential to make it more beneficial to us. Apple may be the first people to put it out there that you can use a computer for more than just computing, like for being more than like the stiff, rigid system of mathematics. But like, eventually that ideology is going to be adopted by all the other different technology players.
Yeah.
I mean, like Apple is maybe the first at it, but that doesn't, they can't like copyright that.
Yeah.
I mean, that eventually that's going to become, and that's part of like how they be dealing with China, because China be taking all that shit and they be mad about it. But no, like you can't hold things that are good for the world over. You can't make that like a private thing. And
yeah,
Apple is selling that idea of having technology be not a technology, just being a system. Yeah, it's about being a way of life. And like, that's just, that ideology is just going to come about overall.
That doesn't,
yeah, amongst the whole industry, not just in Apple. That doesn't make Apple more valuable than the energy sector. That is, that's a money game, and that's a Wall Street game that's playing right now.
I would say if you boil it down, I mean, it's Bank of America and Maryland. Like, come on, man. Like, I mean,
yeah. That's totally politics. That's financial politics.
Right. Well, yeah, man. I mean, I pretty much ain't got nothing else to say about that, man. You got anything else to say?
No. I'm basically wrapped up with Apple, man. I'm done with them for another week, bro. I can't deal with it,
man. Another 2 weeks.
They're not valuable.
Well, man, but I think they, yeah, like you said, it's pretty much it, man. We're going to try to have more stuff from Apple coming your way, whatever silliness they involved in or whatever reports come up, we'll try to bring it up and give strong critique on it. And if it's something positive and something that we can benefit from, you know, we're still gonna criticize it.
That's what I said. if they got some positive news, I'm gonna try to give some positive news. But geez, bro, like y'all got to come with hearts in mind. Y'all can't be coming out here talking bad about other companies and all this nonsense, man. They sounding like
a diva out here in this industry.
Yeah, bro, they is real.
We better than y'all, and now we worth more money than y'all. It's like, all right, bro, like, what you doing for the folks, bro?
Somebody like, gonna pop them soon, yo. Somebody gonna walk up right up to Tim Cook, yo.
Right.
Snatch them real quick.
but that's pretty much all we got, man. We want you all to stay tuned in. Like, comment, subscribe, follow us on all of our active social media channels. We're going to have the live streams up, the videos up, so you can, you know, check out what we got going on and our previous podcast. But that's pretty much it, man. I want you all to stay tuned, keep in touch, and we got more coming your way.
Peace. Yeah, take it easy.